Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, I hope, really, here we go with another broadcast week on the horn. It is the 10th day of August, 2015, this year edition is, and yes, this is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home, that's where we live, that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. I'm not there right now, I completed my Windows 10 upgrade this weekend, and Edge, the new Edge browser doesn't support Java, so tough luck, Buster. And Chrome appears to be a screwed up mess, so I probably won't be in chat this evening. And well, I am the lesser for it, without a doubt. But you will all be capably moderated by veteran, indefatigable chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. And do feel free to enjoy yourself. With the gentle reminder that right-wingers and other trolls will be promptly lightsabered as Sparky does not suffer fools gladly. Yep. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will find the Contribute tab. We remember the Contribute tab, right? Yeah. The Contribute tab is what keeps the program on the air. Yes, indeed. And the Contribute tab, let's see here. When last we spoke, we closed the evening we closed the evening at $247.62 on Friday. It is Monday. That makes the fundraising goal $447.62. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn. I appreciate that. Under the circumstances, it was not a guarantee. There have been storms rolling through here off and on over the latter part of the afternoon. And it has been right dodgy. Yeah. There may yet be some troubles staying connected, though so far, so good. Anyway, we closed the evening at $247.62. That would bring us to $447.62. were it not for a couple of kindly subscribers over the weekend. Thank you very, very kindly to Kath, and thank you to Judy. They took us down to $217.62, and this afternoon Mary kindly took us down to $197.62, so we begin the evening at $397.62. I know, a little complicated, isn't it? That's the fundraising goal for this evening, $397.62. because we all love to hear me mutter gazettas and ciphering in my head. Right? Right. Yep. And I suppose I'm now, Sparky tells me I should use Firefox to get into the chat room. Oh, lovely. By the way, the usual applies to the fundraising for the evening. $397.62, 10 at $39.76, 39.762 people at $10. If you want to, we'll just round that up to 40 people at $10, or 20 at 20, or etc. But anyway, the PayPal, you know, the PayPal interface is there at the website. The mailing address, if you prefer that, the U.S. Postal Service method, and several have, and thank you very kindly. I got an elated text message from Boss Man Wayne over the weekend, saying that the echo chamber wasn't echoing and the spiders had all run away. So that's wonderful, and thank you very much. But the mailing address is, for U.S. Postal Service purposes, is The Horn. That's checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV25801. Sparky says I can use Firefox, and, well, okay, I'll try, but that's not going to happen between now and the end of airtime. Another technical note to be aware of. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org is headed out on a much-deserved vacation. And that means that I'm in charge of posting the podcasts for the first time ever. But he and I had a little technical phone call, and we went over stuff, and by Jove, I think I've got it. We'll find out. Ben will be reviewing my work when he gets home from work to see if I did it all right. There's several steps to the process that I haven't done for the last 10-plus years and really didn't understand the complexity of it. It's not like clicking a happy little button and it just happens. No. There's HTML code to edit. Oh, lovely. I'll be so good at that. And FTP stuff to mess with, and just a myriad ways for me to screw things up. So let's hope that I don't. Otherwise, if we get it all right, the podcasts will keep landing like they should, and the archives will go up like they should. If and they don't, you know who to blame. That would be me. So I mention that because, well, it's the 10th day of August, 2015, and it's the beginning of the week, and it's a Monday, and Monday means something, and, well...
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
There it is, the Calliope of Moranity. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. Step away from the midway and over here to the Moran Monday tent. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find Morans beyond your wildest imaginings. Right-wing Morans, birther Morans, deather Morans, ninther Morans, tenther Morans. We did them. Bircher Morans, Bagger Morans, Republican Morans, Libertarian Morans, Religious Morans, more Morans than you can shake a stick at. Yes, indeed, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here's the program that tells the Morans. For, my goodness gracious, barely pennies a day, we bring you this collection of the strange, the weird, the mean, the hateful, the disgusting. Indeed, indeed, indeed. A general warning to people entering the Moran Monday tent. Keep a
keep a close hand on it, good grip on purses, wallets, European-style messenger bags, youngins, pets, what have you, because the morons, being right-wingers, can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. Oh, listen to that calliope play. And I mentioned the business with the White Rose server, because I may be. It's entirely possible, although I am not a right-winger and hope never to be one. Although there is a story coming out of France of a medical marvel. A man was experiencing leg pain, went to the doctor, they did some imaging tests, and found out he's been operating for 44 years of his life with only half a brain. Mm-hmm. There's no indication in the story that the man is a right-winger or a follower of Marie et Jean Le Pen, but, you know, that must be what it... No, there's a possibility I may be the lead moron if I have somehow not gotten all this posting stuff correct, and I will have to remember assiduously right after Dr. Bill and right after my program to get it all done there. Right? Right. So, that's... what would we call this? A caveat moron. Mm-hmm. Would that mean, may the moron beware? I think so. And, by the way, we are off and running on reducing the funding... the funding level for this evening. We're off and running by $23.12. Mm-hmm. Let's see. If that's in. 2 minus 2. Yeah. 6, 50. And 4. 374.50 is the new fundraising goal. $374.50. Thank you very kindly, Carol Baker. You're right. You're a goddamn giver. Absolutely. And look at that. The last two digits are a manageable number. That was that's giverish all by itself. No, but it is. It's more in Monday. And we are not hurting for stuff to work with on this here Moran Monday. Oh no, not by a long shot. We have to, I guess, don't we? We have to give pride of place to Donald Trump. I'm getting very close to beginning to treat him, to just sort of grandfather him out of stuff, the way we did Godzilla from Wasilla, you know, Mussolini, Caribou Barbie, Sarah Palin, the Tundra Twit. But not yet. Not yet. He's got him a feud going with Megyn Kelly. And it's a surefire dandy, too. You know, he didn't like it, T-Rump didn't, that she asked him about the rotten and tawdry things that he's said about women over the years, and more women than just Rosie O'Donnell, mind you. No, T-Rump didn't like that worth a damn. And so he's taken to calling her names and starting a Twitter war. And apparently, he crossed some sort of a line over the weekend. Uh-huh. Because he said, in describing her, that during the pageant, during the circus act, in which he was the lead clown, that Megyn Kelly had blood coming out of her eyes, her wherever, Fletcher, Felcher, whatever, And this was something up with which Eric Erickson, another moron, over to the Red State, who was having himself a Red State convention, would not put. And T. Rump got disinvited to come to talk to all the mouth breathers and knuckle walkers, strychnine swiggers, floor rollers, serpent handlers, and the various assorted sundry drooling yahoos that think that Red State is some sort of political something and that Eric Erickson is some sort of a mind. That guy allegedly in France, his name wasn't Erickson, was it? Just wondering. You know, the one with half a brain. No, Eric Erickson doesn't rise to the level of half a brain. The funny thing about what Moran T. Rump said is that if he had said it about Hillary Clinton, every Republican and otherwise engaged moron in this country would be talking about what a truth teller he is. And some members of the right wing are still saying that about him. But for me, and quite possibly us, we are in a difficult position. Because while the whole, to me, his comments conjured up the scene with Sissy Spacek from Carrie. And despite the fact that T. Rump says, bleeding from wherever, referred to Megan's nose. Okay. I thought, if it had been up to me to clarify that, I would have said, you know, that her fangs were dripping blood. Dadgum woman's like something out of she's like one of those really, really toothy monster otherworld creatures from Mortal Kombat or something. Splendid. Superb. So, it is not an idiom outside the mainstream of English usage to say that her fangs were dripping with blood. And again, had he said that, the Republicans, he talks the truth, he's a tough one, that T-Rump. Man can't be that rich and not know how to bloody a few noses. But no, it immediately conjured images of female anatomy that had nothing to do with mouths or noses, or fangs. Here's the problem. And I mean, this is a real conundrum. One of the things that T-Rump said is that Megyn Kelly is no journalist. Now, at the risk of putting myself in a very uncomfortable place, I agree. That woman is a journalist the way Lizzie Borden was an orthopedic surgeon. You can, if you wish to harm your brain, tune in to The Kelly File or whatever they call it on any given evening. And watch it for a little bit till your neurons begin to ache. You will not witness any acts of actual journalism. Why? Because it's on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and journalism there, well, and never is heard a journalism word. And the skies are not progressive all day. over there in L'Empire Moudat. So the entire media moranosphere is upset that he was mean to Fox's anchor blonde, because I guess she's pretty enough to have done some cheesecake photos in her day. But he called Rosie O'Donnell a pig and a dog in almost the same breath. And you know what that gang of mouth breathers and knuckle walkers in Cleveland did? They just laughed and laughed. Oh, I mean Emery and Marveline was a slapping in the thighs and just a hee-hawing. You listen to, oh, I tell you what, that T-Rump, he tells it like it is. Last time I voted for somebody said they's gonna tell it like it is. By God, I was a voting for George Wallace. So is there a rule to take away from this? That it's not okay to be sexist to a Fox attack anchor blonde? But it is to other women? It is a puzzlement. But the bottom line is, Megyn Kelly is not a journalist. Oh, sure, she got through 3 years of law school. And I'm sure she's got an IQ, probably north of 100. But journalism, and I guess we have to hang scare quotes around that, journalism is something that involves a specific and set universe of attributes. And as someone who has sat behind a microphone and read the news into said microphone and was therefore called an anchor, I was a radio news anchor once upon a time, yes indeed. At one point in time, the youngest person ever to broadcast a worldwide radio news broadcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, the glory days. But that wasn't really, that's not journalism. Being a babbling head in front of the camera isn't journalism unless you're getting out and doing it. And getting out and doing it with a preconceived notion of ends-based, then that's not journalism either. That's opinion. This program is not journalism. Let's make something absolutely clear. We don't do journalism here. Because journalism is supposed to be unbiased. The only bias that journalism is supposed to have is toward getting the facts right. The blue car hit the red car at the corner of Oak and Main on a Monday in August. Now, the minute that gets reported on Fox as the blue car driven by a wild-eyed leftist progressive, fill in the blank thereafter, that ain't journalism anymore. So I'm going to... T-Rump's a moron, and we're going to have to deal with that. And he's certainly a fitting and worthy nominee for this evening. And what kind of mental process is it do you suppose? Why piss and not moan about being asked the misogyny question? Is that his only response, T-Rumps, when attacked back? He doesn't have nuance. He doesn't have actual debate skills. He doesn't have the intellectual fortitude to craft a response. Is that it? Kind of licked here. So if we got into it, into a delicate diplomatic bit of badinage with the Chinese, President T. Rump would respond, what, with a Charlie Chan joke? Or maybe it would be one of the classic Asian small penis jokes, since he seems to go for the genital. You know, a good debater goes for the jugular. T. Rump goes for the genital. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Carol. Back to the what is journalism now. The blue car violently attacked the red car. Thanks, Obama. Yeah, right. Oh, thank you very kindly to Glenn. Glenn just helped out with fundraising, took us down to an evener number. We're 350. Followed in short order by Reinhard. And our fundraising goal has dropped miraculously to $180 for the evening. 18 at 10, 10 at 18, 2 at 90, 3 at 60, 6 at 30. Yeah, $180 to go. Thank you. Thank you, Reinhard, very kindly. And thank you. Thank you to Glenn as well. That's reassuring. So we got T-Rump. Oh, by the way, I neglected to mention this. The equipment fund is right under $2,000. Right under $2,000 to go. We're getting there. We're getting there quite nicely. Steve in New York noting where T-Rump is concerned. That T-Rump is obsessed with the genitals. That confirms he's a Republican. Well, that's true. That's true. Then again, bleeding from the wherever meant her nose. I don't know. Anybody that bewildered by female anatomy probably doesn't ever need to even remotely attempt to discuss reproductive health care issues. No, don't think so. The wherever. Right. So we've gotten that out of the way. And we've still got a lot of idiots yet to go. How's about Michigan? Oh, I'm really not liking this new browser for Windows 10. How about that? We got us a round number to deal with. I'm sure some wiseacre out there will come up with a bit of odd change just to get me back into the muttering gazintas. That's, you know, that sounds like something you cure with 200 proof rheumatism medicine. Hey, what's the matter with Bob? Yeah, I think he's got the muttering gazettas. Okay, why is this damn thing not cooperating? Should've known. Well, Microsoft has taken me back to the future. I'm going to have to start printing stories out again. I was trying to be all paperless. No, sorry, I have to keep an eye on several things at one time. No, the story out of Michigan is a real Lulu. Mm-hmm. And it is, in its own way, it's a mark of social progress. A God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Republican lawmaker in Michigan asked his colleagues to out him as gay. So that he could cover for the fact that he was having a flang with another God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, right-wing, Christ-centered woman. Mm-hmm. And he's been caught at it. Naturally, in classic, and he's a teabagger. He's a teabagger. Of course he's a teabagger. And he says he is being, persecuted by the Lansing Mafia for what he did. We're talking about, of course, Michigan State Representative Todd Corser. And he was recorded trying to get one of his aides to dummy up an email saying that he had hooked up with a gay hooker behind a nightclub, because he knew that it was was about to hit the fan over the fling he was having with a real live, honest to goodness female, as opposed to the made up fling with the gay hooker. Because he claims he was about to be blackmailed. The email was put in motion to disrupt the blackmailer and give me some clues as to the surveillance of my life. It was all done in a pressure cooker, and it put me in a situation where a bad choice was the choice that I made. But to change the country, men and women must be able to stand unafraid, even when they're a broken messenger. And I'm certainly a broken messenger. I have chosen to stay and make them play their hand. I think it is absolutely necessary to have these clandestine operations to control public officials be exposed. So I have refused to leave quietly and have decided that these efforts really need to come out. I see this as the establishment machine getting everyone to do what they're told to do and no one dare question their authority. So much for that whole personal responsibility thingy. So, let's review. Right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered legislator is indiscreet with another right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered legislator who happens to be female. So they're having heterosexual adultery and fornication. And he's and representing Courser is going to find out who it is that's talking about the romping he's a doing in the name of Jesus, of course. By pretending to be all gay. Mm-hmm. Now, some people might think that a cockamamie story like this just happens out of thin air. Not true. Because when I first read this story over the weekend and realized that it had shot right to the top of Morin Monday, I immediately recognized that somebody out there was a fan of the Harold and Kumar film franchise. Because this is straight out of a very Harold and Kumar Christmas or whatever it's called. You ever seen it? No, you didn't waste your money on a ticket? Wasn't worthy of the big screen? That's what I thought. But I have, since there are teenagers in my family, seen it. And there's a lot of dope jokes and sex jokes. But along the way, we are introduced to Neil Patrick Harris, who is famously gay. But in the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie, he's actually a straight guy who is a hopelessly crack-addled heterosexual predator covering his tracks by pretending to be gay. And but a few people they kind of know. It's of its sort. It's plebeian and lowbrow, but it's kind of funny the way it actually plays out. Just like this thing in Michigan is kind of funny the way it plays out. And it tells us a little bit about the culture. In 2015, it is better for a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, right-wing teabagger legislator to have people thinking that he's out there somewhere with a man in his mouth than if he is philandering around heterosexually. Or, as we say here in the hills, rompin'. Some bitch. The brand new Microsoft web browser just crashed right all to hell. Who knew? I don't think they got all the bugs out. Oh, okay. I'm informed via email that The slang word for a gay hooker is hustler. And there I thought it was... No, that's a gigolo. Never mind. Thank you, Dallas Ken. Oh! All those round numbers agitated the bejabbers out of Carol Baker. I'm proud to note that the... fundraising goal now is $183.59. Man, I didn't even have to... I sorted that one right out. I mean, $173.59. I was worried about the cents and not the $173.59. Thank you, Carol. So, what else? What else? What else? Well, let's see. Well, first of all, let's see if the browser's going to cooperate. I'm betting against. There he is. Oh, my goodness gracious. Doesn't he look like a very serious... As he looks open-mouthedly into the camera with his half-rimless, wide, rectangular smart guy glasses. Yeah, Teabagger Courser is having a fling with Teabagger representing Cindy Gamrat. No, really, that's because the goddess of irony doesn't take nights off. Cindy Gamrat. Interestingly, Gamrat spelled backwards is Tarmag, which might actually be better in this situation. Gamrat. And, of course, representing Courser is a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing father of four, and he has Republican family values all over the place. Mostly at Ms. Gamrat's place. I do love the fife and drum corps part with it. To change the country, men and women must be able to stand unafraid, even when they're a broken messenger. That broken messenger stuff is... straight out of somebody in the right-wing religion industry has handed that to him. It's all right, Brother Courser. We understand you've sinned, but you must confess your sin before the Lord and the contributors and ask for their forgiveness and promise not to do it again for a while. You are an anointed messenger of the Lord Almighty. You are a broken messenger. You are a cracked vessel. They like to use that kind of purple, florid prose over there in the religion industry. Meanwhile, the Speaker of the Michigan House, and it's Republican controlled, by the way, but there are some things up with which Republicans will not put. Speaker of the Michigan House, Kevin Cotter. Mr. Cotter. Sorry, no. Said he has a long pattern of this type of behavior. Really? The lying about gay one-night stands or the philandering all over creation part? I don't know. Representing Cotter said, you know, if this wasn't so offensive, it might be funny. He sends out these ridiculously long email rants about the so-called establishment, uses words like mafia and cartel, but nobody else did wrong here. These two representatives voluntarily engaged in the affair, and they need to own up to that. There are 107 other members in the House currently serving. It's so unfair to this institution as a whole, and it's so unfair we have this type of distraction. We need to get back to the business of screwing the people of Michigan. That's what we were put here to, by the Koch brothers to do. Okay, I added that last part. Morons. And we've got we haven't had the Duggars in a while. No. Yeah, we got them now. Now, the way this story is written, and it's over at Raw Story, David Ferguson wrote it, and I'm not complaining about the way David Ferguson writes. Headline: Watch. Duggar's son-in-law tells black friend, because, you know, the Duggars have a black friend, that believing in evolution is racist. Okay, one does not believe in evolution. One either acknowledges it to be a scientific reality or one does not. Science doesn't care. Science is not religion. One does not believe in evolution any more than one believes in gravity. But that's really not the biggest part of my beef. Which, after a story about a man pretending to have a gay hookup behind a nightclub in a dumpster, I should probably not say a part of my beef either, should I? Okay, no. Duggar daughter Jessa Seawald posted a video to her YouTube account last week in which her husband Ben Seawald and... Shouldn't that be incest victim Jessa Seawald? I mean, isn't that? I mean, if you're going to put a descriptor in front of it, or incest or sexual abuse victim Jessa Duggar Seawald, so that we can know that we're talking about Duggery here. Now, I'm not victim shaming. That's not my point. But she's not just a Duggar daughter. But for the fun of it, now that we're past that, let's run over and check out the conversation in which we find out, because it's Moran Monday, that evolution is racist. Actually, as a caveat, just a gentle reminder, I have said for years that the rejection of evolution is racist. Because 9 times out of 10, you'll hear some pasty-faced, doughy white person say, "Huh? Evolution? I ain't descended from no monkey." And then they'll go off to their Klan rally. But they have a black... Jessa Duggar Seawald and her husband Ben have a black friend. Yeah. This is irresistible. I feel like a moth drawn to one of those little zapper lights.
So Dante, 2015, we've seen a lot of racially charged crimes, you know?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of tension mm-hmm. in the America between blacks and whites, and in the media too. There's been all these reports and race war, going on and everything, and some of these killings, people saying, "Hey, we're going to try to start a race war."
Mm-hmm.
So how should we respond to that as Christians?
Okay. First off, before I say something, let's turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 25. All right?
Okay.
Mark 3, 25. Yeah.
Everybody got that? Mark 3, 25. Mark 3, 25. Bingo! Who's got... No. Mark 3, 25. We're just going to have to check this out, aren't we? Mark 3:25. We want it in the King James Version, don't we? None of that New Revised Standard apostasy. So remember, the question is, are we going to have a race war? Well, there it is. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So we're playing the Lincoln card? Yeah.
Let's check it out. Then I'll speak on it. Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If you check it out, what they're trying to do with America is basically have us going...
Who are they? If you check it out, what they're trying to do to America, they. I'm a little lost here already, and it's a short verse. Don't know who the they are.
Going against each other. Why the devil can sneak in real clearly and destroy what he's trying to destroy.
Now, if the devil sneaks in, how's he doing it clearly? And I thought it was Jesus that was coming as a thief in the night. This is not prayer meeting Wednesday, but these things happen.
If we're fighting against each other, the devil can sneak in and do what he want to do, especially to our youth. Because if you look at it, it's really not the youth that's going against this racial issue. I feel like this youth, this generation, they're accepting anybody. I mean, I just feel like they're all just one. It's us adults that need to set the examples. Me, you, everybody, we need to set the examples. And stop just worrying about this racial war, man. It's just nonsense. I really feel like it's nonsense. We all need to check ourselves within and see if we got a racist bone in our body. First of all, let's check ourselves. You, regular person, check yourself and see if you got a racist bone in your body.
Well, do you? The phone lines are 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Do you have a racist bone in your body? I dare say that this country being this country, it's baked in, isn't it? I mean, if it wasn't, why would marking the 1-year anniversary of the slaughter of Michael Brown have gone so horrendously sideways so quickly? Why would a police union in Missouri have declared Darren Wilson Day for today? All lanes of in the wake of that happening, and yes, that really did happen, in the wake of that occurring, all lanes of I-70 just outside St. Louis are now blocked with protesters. Darren Wilson Day? Oh, you mean the guy who doesn't go to racially mixed restaurants? White Castle! And hangs out only with his own kind now? Okay, so have we all checked? Okay, let's go on.
If you're judgmental towards another race, if you do, you need to check yourself. I need to check myself. We all do.
That's right. There's no room for racism in Christianity.
Not at all.
That all comes with the devil. It comes from all this false religion out here, evolution, all that stuff, teaching that like some people are more evolved and different stuff. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah,
it is. It is. Because if somebody was out there teaching that some people are more evolved than other people, that's definitely nonsense. I mean, that's stupid. Interestingly, however, no one is doing that. These false religions, you know, evolution, whatever. Because it is. I can just go right downtown. there's the Methodists and the Episcopalians are up on the hill, and the Baptists are back in the back, and just around the corners the first temple of evolution. Everyone welcome, whether you're more or less evolved than someone else. We love you, sinner. No. No. There's no there's no room for racism in Christianity? Excuse me? That's going to come as a surprise to my old ancestor, Sam Black. No irony in his name. White guy. Went riding all over the mountainous areas of Trans-Allegheny, Virginia, preaching that verse, slaves, obey your masters. Mm-hmm. You know it. And was right there in complete agreement with John C. Calhoun, who said, slavery is a net, a social good. No room for racism in Christianity. Mm-mm, no. Was it, by the way, was it racist when the children of Israel went in and were told by their God to slaughter every Babylonite, to the last man, woman, child, beast of the field, whether it walked, crawled, or swam, or flew? Was that racist? Because that would be in the Bible. And was it racist in the Bible when the Lord God Almighty said to kill every last one of the hoogafligamocks and except for the virgins, and to save them to give to the soldiers to rape? No small amount of racism in the Bible. And believe me, the racists have grabbed onto it for justification, because it just blinks there right off the pages. Gotta love.
In Christ, we're all one.
All one.
You know? It's not like, well, here's the white Christians over here, and here's the black Christians over here, or, you know, here's all this. It's like, mm-hmm. That's a bunch of nonsense. Like, we're all one in Christ. Jesus doesn't look on one man and say, you know what, since he has that color skin, he's better than that guy. Jesus, man looks at the outward.
Like, hey. Ben. Can I call you Ben? What color was Jesus?
Just curious.
What? Morons. Morons, morons everywhere. Nor anyone to think. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Now wait a dead blame minute. Doesn't that paragon of evolution, Charles Murray, believe some folks are more evolved than others? No. That's not it. No. That's not evolution, Charles Murray. That's race. No. He doesn't think they're more evolved. They're just differently evolved. Charles Murray says that there are some people out there who are dark-skinned and therefore very athletically gifted, but not intellectually gifted, because they're not white, and white people are always more intellectually gifted. And then there's his protege, and I can't remember that little creep's name, who says that Latinos will always lag behind white and Asian people in IQ testing because they're Latinos. Meanwhile, there, in reference to Dante in the recent audio clip, I guess we could call him the token Duggar. I mean, he's, yeah. I'll burn in hell for that. Tim from L.A. says, Dante is a moron. Well, that's why he's on the program, Tim. Every person of color I know are saying, what? So this black guy does not recognize racism directly and essentially blames non-Christians for this. Racism is from the devil. But if Dante wasn't so blinded by the white man's religion, you know, Christianity, and realized that his faith was based upon his ancestors being forced to believe in this white God as slaves in the U.S., well, then Christianity would be recognized as a racist institution. That's one of the reasons why I became an atheist, Bob. I Want no part of a racist organization, just like you, Bob. Well, thank you, Tim. I'm happy to be in your company. Oh, you know, if we could get the whole Horn family commune congregation together and run one room like they did with the writers of the Daily Show, we could have a hell of a fine time. Because you guys come up with some great stuff on the fly. Quote, more evolved and different stuff, unquote. This note from Steve in New York. More evolved and different stuff. Stephen Hawking, eat your heart out. Meanwhile, Steve would also like to know, what about a homophobic bone? Can they find their homophobic bone? No, it's okay to have homophobic bones. And a note coming in from Dr. John up in New York. Hi, Dr. John. Dr. John says, Bob, I've been very happy to hear how progress on the equipment fund is coming. I'm going to chip in what I can, so look for a check in the amount of $25 coming to the mailbox. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you haven't gotten some wealthy progressive sugar daddy to bankroll the regular operating of the costs of the Horn while you're fundraising for the equipment, have you? I'll pause for your answer. It will not be a long pause, John. No. I didn't think so, says John. So I'm offering the first ever, the lights need to stay on so Bob can install the new equipment when it arrives, challenge. I'll match the first $50 in any combination to come in after this challenge is read. Thank you, John. So there it is. The first ever, the lights need to stay on so Bob can install the new equipment when it arrives, challenge. Or perhaps the lights need to stay on so Bob, because installing equipment in the dark sucks and Bob is prone to mistakes anyway, challenge. No, we'll stick with the lights need to stay on so Bob can install the new equipment when it arrives, challenge. Courtesy of Dr. John. Our fundraising goal sits at $173.59 for the evening, and the next 50 that comes in gets doubled courtesy of Dr. John. Won't that be nice? So if you kick in, say, $23.59, Dr. John will double that to, oh, Jesus, what have I done to myself? 9 and 9 is 18, 1 and 6 and 5, 18. 18. Oh, hell. But anyway, you get the idea. You know how the challenges work. 10 at 5, 5 at 10, 1 at 50, 2 at 25, etc. And up to the next 50 bucks that come in, get doubled, courtesy of Dr. John. Now, and this is just one right out of the department of the God. This comes from the inner sanctum of the Goddess of Irony. You know, there's a long-standing gag that runs through our little community here. Whenever I have really gotten on Ron and Raleigh's last nerve, the subject line of the email begins, Bob, Bob, Bob. And some people have even tried to appropriate it, and objections have been lodged. Well, I'll be damned if I wasn't sitting here a couple of minutes ago and I got one of those blast emails from Daily Kos. Mm-hmm. Subject line, Bob, Bob, Bob. I kid you not. The Goddess of Irony is working overtime. Bob, did you see Chris's email from last week? We're losing key voices in the media, and it's a big problem for progressives nationwide. Now, see, what this is last week, and forgive me if I think this is a little bit slimy. This is not jealousy. This is a moral objection. So last week, I got a blast email, many of you may have too, from Daily Kos, and this is an official Moran Monday nomination. Don't get me wrong, I like, there's great stuff to be read over there, and I read it quite often. But way up at the top, in the thin part of the atmosphere, there's some serious moving on up into the 1% wealth wealth acquisition taking place. Marcus Melitzis ain't eating beans. That's your class warfare there, what I just said. So last week, an email came out and said, bad news. Bob, bad news. MSNBC announced last week that it's canceling The Ed Show as part of a larger effort to move the network away from progressive political commentary. Okay. And then it continues, conservative ideas and the politicians that push them are incredibly unpopular. Look at any opinion poll. Americans agree with progressives on raising the minimum wage, passing legislation to create jobs, and expanding Social Security. One of the core reasons Republicans keep winning elections and policy fights in Congress, even though they're so unpopular, is because conservative media dwarfs progressive media. I got no argument with anything that's been said so far. Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, and others like them have huge audiences, and progressives don't have anything like it. Now, with MSNBC moving away from progressive commentary, the media gap between liberals and conservatives will be even larger. Again, agreed. I've been harping on this stuff for 10 years. You cannot expect to win a fight when you refuse to be in it. And for damn near 20 years, with the exception of Mike Malloy, there was virtually no one doing our side, our issues. And so, I mean, How can you back a side that's not even in the competition? So there it is. They lay it all out, but then this. Daily Kos is the biggest outlet for progressive political news on the internet, and our work is more important now than ever. Can you chip in $5 to help Daily Kos keep fighting? Daily Kos averages more than 10 million unique readers a month, and we're growing fast. From Chris Bowers of Daily Kos. I felt like it was almost being dropped in my lap the way it was. Bob. So they got 10 million unique readers a month. And if they get 10% of them to give $5, well, that's $5 million. Damn, fella could probably have a pretty nice time in Vegas on that. That's from Dr. Strangelove. But you know what Daily Kos doesn't do? They don't give you a voice. They don't sit there night after night and say, call the damn phone. Tell me what you're thinking. Not tell me, tell us. Tell the community what you're thinking. And for as much as from time to time I myself post in the comments of things, you know what? Very seldom do people read the comments. They'll read the comments to see if anybody replied to theirs. I'm a little bit different in that regard, but you get the idea. So there you have it. We got $173.59, and if we could only get 1 million people,
You get the idea. Oh, well. I thought it was fun. Because not only did they send it once, they sent it twice, and the second time they sent it with a Bob, Bob, Bob attached. And everybody, and you know, Malloy gets these, Mike got a Mike. And my friend and colleague Rick Smith, he got a Rick. Crafty devils. Okay, so Dr. John's challenge has been well responded to. Yes, indeed. We have $20.66 to go on Dr. John's challenge. Thank you, Ron. So I'm going to withhold. Doing a tally on that because it's doubled. So, wait a minute. Okay. The fundraising goal is down to $114.91. $114.91. See, that's how you take $29.34 and turn it into twice as much, and you get $114.91 to go on the evening. So, really, no kidding, the phone lines are open, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or the stress line, which is 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Both are open. So is the Skype line, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, that's open too. And I have deliberately left out the Saturday kerfuffle in Seattle, in which people proclaiming to be, I guess, self-appointed ad hoc members of Black Lives Matter once again interrupted an appearance by Bernie Sanders. I have not addressed it because I think it is something that, you know, I'm not comfortable pontificating on it, and I think it is much better left to a more conversational approach. And I really would, I really do want to discuss it. I'm not happy with it. Not happy about it. In point of fact, because I've been around. The block a couple of times, I smell some Nixonian rat-mary of monumental proportions. And a whole bunch of people out there, at least gauging by what was going on my Facebook page over the weekend, can't help wondering how it is that these so-called Black Lives Matter interruptions always seem to happen at Bernie events and never at Hillary events. Because, see, the thing is, Wall Street doesn't give a good damn. Black lives don't matter to Wall Street. If there's a nickel to be made in black folks dying, there's somebody going to invest in it in Wall Street. And there are two Democratic candidates out there vying for the heart and soul of the party right now, one of whom is heavily supported by Wall Street and the other is not. How is it that the one who is not heavily supported by Wall Street, who would mow down black lives with a scythe, how is it the one who is not indebted to Wall Street is the one catching the crap? How is it the one who is not indebted to Wall Street is the one whose supporters are being called white supremacist liberals in Seattle? Because, see, the people who turned out to see Bernie in Seattle booed the two rude people. I mean, I don't know what I did. And got called white supremacist liberals for their troubles. No, I know a Nixon rat when I see one. And I'm pretty sure I'm seeing one. And so, with that having been said, at 15 minutes past the hour, we're going to take our little top of the hour break a little bit late. And come right back to your calls. We've got someone on hold on the stress line. The other line, 304-574-8178, is open. And I really would appreciate your input on this. If you have never opined on anything on this program before, then by God, this would be a fine time, and this is a lovely topic, although other topics count as well. I really think we need to process on this one. So, first-time callers are always welcome, long-time callers or old friends. Any way you want to do this is fine by me. Let's just do it. This is listener-supported conversation radio with $20.46 to go on Dr. John's challenge. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sitting in a tiny table in a ritzy restaurant, she was staring at her coffee cup. He was trying to keep his courage up by applying blues. Talk was small and they talked at all. They both knew what they wanted. There was no need to talk about it. They were bold enough to scope it out and keep it loose. She said, "You don't look like my type, but I guess you'll do." Thursday romance, low-rent rendezvous. He said, "I'll even tell you that I love you if you want me to." Thursday romance, low-rent rendezvous. In his car and they drove away. He drove to the family inn. She didn't even have to pretend she didn't know what for. Then he went to the desk and made his request while she waited outside. And he came back with the key. She said, "Give it to me and I'll unlock the door." She kept saying, "I've never really done this kind of thing before. Have you?" There's a romance, no red rendezvous. And he said, "Yes, I have, but only a time or two."
With a long distance dedication going out to Todd Corser and Miss Gamrat in Michigan. That's the Amazing Rhythm Aces and Third Rate Romance. Low Rent Rendezvous. I've never done this kind of thing before. Have you? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. This is More in Monday on the Horn. It's 20 minutes past the hour. And let us run over to the... Let's run over to the stress line and see what Jim's got for us. Are you in Louisiana, Stan, or are you now in Nevada, Stan?
Yeah, I'm still in Louisiana, Stan. My sentence expired about a little bit less than about 50 hours. I should be in Nevada.
Wow.
So, back to pack. I'm ready to go. I can throw a bunch of songs if you want.
You have got a surefire, no kidding, hankering to get the hell out of Louisiana, Stan, don't you?
Yeah, boy. She don't succeed, try again.
And I guess gone are the days of the $10 buffet out in Vegas, but
it's a lot more progressive out there. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got your buddy Sheldon Adelson, who always speaks highly of you whenever I bump into him. And Mike Maloney. I know y'all good buddies. but there's a lot more. I just need. I'm more of a big city type person since I'm partially blind and I don't drive. So if a place happens to have a mass transit system, that's a big plus. Where I'm living now, doesn't. So, plus not too many hurricanes that hit Nevada. And I know it's so far so good, but all it takes is one, damn low pressure system to pop up in the Gulf. So far so good, but then you look what's going on the other side of the globe. From what I heard on, that they give over the 6 minutes at the top of the hour.
Right, yeah.
Not that, the one that Malloy plays and you play too sometimes. It comes on Tuesday and Thursday. I can't.
Yeah, Green News. That's
Green News, exactly. They kind of, I've heard from them, but nowhere else pretty much, except for maybe you and Malloy and maybe Hartman, but that down in the south, down in the Pacific, they've been getting hit by typhoons right and left,
Oh yeah, it's apparently the Pacific's turn this year. I was concerned about our buddy Horst over in Taiwan over the weekend because that was apparently a booger that hit that island.
Yeah, and even everything's going cool, everything can change in a week. Hurricanes don't take that long to develop.
No,
everything's fine. Yeah, I mean, not as quick.
Did you saw that story a couple of weeks back about I think it was in the New Yorker about the massive earthquake to come for the Northwest, Oregon.
Oh yeah.
Well, shortly thereafter, I saw an article about the massive hurricane to come for the Gulf Coast, and the thing is. With the redesign and the rebuilding of the levees and everything in New Orleans, those are supposed to have been built for 400 year events. That they're only going to be overwhelmed by it. But the problem is the article that I read pointed out that it's kind of unrealistic, and the real standard needs to be like the 1,000 year event because that seems to be the way the dice are rolling these days. You can have a very calm hurricane season where everything's nice and polite and placid, and then out of nowhere, here comes a Cat 6.
Yeah,
nobody's seen the likes of in 1,000 years.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely, there's that. And then it's like today when I was, Bernie Sanders, and he's like, he didn't seem to know, so I wasn't really gonna, you know, it seemed like I was talking to somebody from Deliverance, you know, one of the guys from Deliverance. And, so I just got to go, he goes, you know he ain't gonna win. You know, I didn't feel like going into, you know, a debate form with, you know, the cashier. I said, well, I'm glad you tell me that because I always get my, political thinking and philosophical thinking from cashiers. Now that maybe there's not a few enlightened cashiers out there that might help me do this journey we call life, but this guy wasn't one of them.
No, everybody's not a fellow traveler, Jim.
Everybody's what?
Everybody's not a fellow traveler. You know, some people are just not helpful on this journey called life.
Yeah, well, I guess he saw I was in need, so because I had not only a Bernie shirt and a Bernie hat, but a Bernie bun in the middle of Louisiana stand. But, I mean, that's what, I mean, you know, just across the lake, there were 4,000 people there a couple of weeks ago, and Bernie was there. So, you know, I'm not giving up, I'm just moving on.
Right, yeah. Oh, you know what? Your activism may come in handy out in Nevada.
I think so. I plan on doing a lot more. So, yeah. But I say a little family story. Somebody in my family, Jesus kind of screwed her up with a bad heart for things. Jesus decided to spare, so she's still alive, but she's got a bad heart. And then, like, she went to she ran into these two people who prayed for her. And my mother was relating the story, and she's like really into that. But to think that, I know people say that, okay, well, I prayed for you. But it's like, I always want to ask, why did Jesus do it in the first place? You know, Jesus has all these tests for certain people, but not others. You know, apparently not Donald Trump or Megyn Kelly or whatever, so far, so that's for them. But I mean, Jesus would give them a real test. I don't think they'd be where they are, you know?
No. Jesus is, and I can say this with the Horn Family Commune Congregation, Jim, and not get in trouble. Jesus is a mythic figure. Jesus is a mythic hero, okay?
I know that.
And so Jesus becomes, I mean, if you need your mythic hero to be white, he's white. Even though he wasn't.
According to me, he was. I didn't see that live when she did that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Actually goes into, no. For the kids watching, Jesus is white. I mean, instead of just dropping it and letting it go, she had to stop loose of the show and make a point that Jesus is white. And you think, wait a minute, Middle East here, that's a pretty sun, so you're pretty much not going to be pale white, you know. Vampire white, almost.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just, the other thing I was going to mention is when we talked about speaking of color and all that stuff, that thing that happened, I think it broke Friday night, I saw it on Sunday, where they had the African-American woman, and she just basically attacking the Democratic Party and mainly Bernie for not doing, not paying it black, it was black, the new, it was a kind of segment of Black Lives Matter. And all she did, I mean, it was really weird how she just didn't even mention how light years ahead even Hillary is. Never mind Bernie's like, college status here. Ahead, I think, considering he was active in that 61, I was just a little baby back then.
He was was present at the March on Washington. He was present for the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah, but you could, and of course the MSNBC person didn't mention that and just found that this woman would go on like nobody in the Democratic Party was the least bit concerned about Black Lives Matter or whatever. And I didn't watch much of it because once I start hearing that, even if I watch it, I kind of tune it out. Unless it's so absurd, it is absurd. But even then, I can just kind of filter it. Say, I know the BS is coming. I just kind of, tune it out or turn it off. I mean, I don't know how you end up getting getting together your news, not your news, but your stories. It's just like sometimes, how can you keep going on? It's kind of like with John Stewart after that, I forget, third, fourth, fifth shooting of eight people or whatever, and he just couldn't, he said, I couldn't even write any jokes today. And that's when he brought out that 17, 18-year-old who got shot for learning how to read and somewhere in the Middle East or far, Middle East.
Right,
and just like a serious show, But, I could see why I did that. I mean, just sometimes it's just so overwhelming. Just like with you, it's just, sometimes I'm sure you get up and just see what happens. And it's
just, oh, no, sometimes I just run hooting into the yard.
Yeah. I'm sure many of the Horn family feel the same way. It's just like dealing with that guy.
I've gotten emails over the years from dear friends who said, Bob, love the program. Love what you do. Got to take a break.
Yeah.
And I don't take that personally. It was Wordsworth who wrote, "The world is too much with us. We lay waste our days get buying and selling, getting and spending." I don't know. I do it because I'm kind of lashed to the mast. But
oh yeah.
That's the Odysseus story passing the sirens. He wanted to hear him.
Also
everybody else got to stop up their ears, but he lashed himself to the got himself lashed to the mast and left it so he could hear the song of the sirens. And it's kind of, and I imagine it was probably kind of like listening to Morans.
Well, it's kind of like where it's being a family gathering.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Jim lashed to the mast with it, and one arm loose to reach the potato salad.
That's it. New Orleans has a connection to West Virginia. You know what it is? The Saints are training in West Virginia.
Oh, yes, they are. Jim Justice, who wants to be governor of West Virginia, a billionaire, who has made his fortune poisoning small communities a few at a time.
Non-existent, God bless him. I just want to get that in there.
Yeah, right, exactly. God love him. He can't help it. He's born that way. He made a deal with the Saints to build him a practice facility at the freaking Greenbrier. And in fact, you can see the practice field from I-64 when you drive by westbound.
Now, see, I just heard that on the news today, the 4 o'clock news. And right away, whenever I hear West Virginia, I think of everything, most of what I know about West Virginia, I've gotten from you. I've heard a little bit about the ginseng gold rush. But other than that, it's mostly you. It's the coal scene, and it's not good about what I hear about West Virginia. I can't help but think, why would you move your football team to a practice where they burn coal, mine coal? That would seem like a bad idea.
Maybe but the thing is, no, that's the thing. If all those Saints players go to the Greenbrier, they're going to come away going, golly, that West Virginia sure is pretty. Because, see, they're not blowing up mountains in Greenbrier County because Jim Justice, who knows a little bit about blowing up mountains, wouldn't allow it because, you know, it's a privilege thing. Getting your mountains blown up is what happens when you live somewhere that poor people live. And he doesn't.
Wow.
At the Greenbrier? Oh, for God's sakes, they put up a little wind turbine project over in the western end of the county, and all the people who had come into Greenbrier, privileged coming out their ears, went to the county commission and said, "We want you to stop these godforsaken wind turbines. After all, they create viewscape pollution."
What was that, viewscape?
Viewscape, V-I-E-W-S-C-A-P-E, viewscape pollution. Our view shed will forever be altered by these wind turbines. Now, none of them were even living where you could see them.
Well, what idiots. I mean, I have nothing against West Virginia, but I just wouldn't want to be anywhere near that state because of what I've heard about the coal pollution, and I'm sure there's good areas and stuff. I'd love to go up there for a short while, but
you ain't going to the Greenbrier without a big pocket full of money.
Yeah, really?
And the nice thing about the Greenbrier, where the Saints practice, is the resort there is one of the oldest in the country, world-class golf course. And gambling. I mean, you can sit down and play a hand of Texas Hold'em or blackjack, or you can just sit and feed the little machines if that's what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, almost like Vegas on the East Coast.
Not quite.
Well, not quite. Well, I guess I'll have to stick with my Vegas plan. We're going to change to Greenbrier.
Yeah, no, I'd stay where. Well, Jim, good to talk to you, and make sure you update us when you get where you're going.
Well, I'll give you a call, number one on our list.
All right.
See you later.
Thanks, Jim. See ya. Our buddy Jim, soon to be formerly of Louisiana Stan. Some notes coming in on the Black Lives Matter interruption. Going back to Roger, I think it's more like a COINTELPRO deal. The Black Lives Matter posers, or manipulated stooges, are intended to draw suspicion on the hilarity camp and thereby weaken both as well as bring discredit to the BLM group. Smells like the kind of thing Baby Bush's turd blossom used to dream up. How unsurprising that this form of tactic reappears just as another Bush demon seeks the higher office. And it's interesting because neither are talking to the other, but lo and behold, Steve in New York, subject line, BLM interruption. I smells me a turd blossom. Yep. Jack in Shreveport says, I just saw the tweet below. I didn't track where it came from. I haven't heard about whites for Bernie. It sounds like it could be along the lines you mentioned about Nixon. Aaron Beatty tweeted, "Whites for Bernie are proving Black Lives Matter's point." And there's a link. I actually know who Aaron Beatty is. Meanwhile, from Dr. John, this. On Saturday, two women who are apparently affiliated with the Black Lives Matter movement took the stage before a rally for Social Security in Seattle before Bernie began to speak, called for silence in memory of Michael Brown, and refused to yield. They were apparently heckled by the crowd, which some reports noted was mostly white, and quote, chanted the name of a white man, Senator Sanders, unquote. Before I write anything else, can we just agree to assume a few things? Can we agree not to apply the Israel rule to my critique of this entirely misguided action? By that, I mean, just as I can criticize Israel's military or government and not be an anti-Semite, can I also criticize individual activists without being a racist? Can I disagree with a certain action yet still be an ally of a range of progressive causes, including Black Lives Matter? And I'll offer my answer to that, and it's absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I bring my own personal experience into that answer, because Lord knows, out there in the particular issue with which I am most closely associated, there's plenty to critique. But it doesn't mean we want mountains blown up or communities poisoned. Dr. John continues, I fear that the answer is no in many circles. Too many groups that should be allied would rather insist that their individual oppression is the worst or the oldest or the most widespread. Too many who are ostensibly on our side are willing to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. The good is what Bernie is, not the perfect. He's got issues that I do not agree with. Hell, he's running for the office of imperial administrator. That alone makes me queasy. And I couldn't agree with Dr. John Moore on that point, because you know what? If, and just extrapolate this outward in time, if Bernie happens to become the president of the United States, at some point in time, some general, some human being covered in brass and ribbons and stuff is going, Mr. President, it's time to bomb those brown people. And what's he going to do? Or what, you know, what? Not to use this as the seminal decision point, but it's going to take a mighty strong man, in the wake of, say, a September 11th attack, to not say, let's just bomb the first people who are handy. Because that's exactly what Dim Leader did. Yeah. So when Dr. John says Bernie has issues I do not agree with, hell, he's running for the office of imperial administrator, that alone makes me queasy. I understand and I agree. If the shuffling zombie of that 19th century German economist himself were to be elected president, he would be forced by the very structure of imperial power to do things that neither he nor I would support. And by shuffling zombie of the 19th century German economist, we're talking about Marx. Marx. That said, someone is going to occupy the office with all the more subtle power that it carries, the sort of power that can, for instance, sign executive orders. Let's take a peek at the record. May 12, 2014, Obama signs Executive Order 13667, freezing millions of dollars in assets for five strongmen connected with the child soldier war in the Central African Republic. May 21, 2010, Obama signs Executive Order 13543, establishing an investigation into the Deepwater Horizon spill. In 2011, the commission recommended a range of tighter regulation and corporate oversight designed to prevent similar incidents. August 31, 2012, Obama signs Executive Order 13625, expanding access to mental health services for veterans and their families. Now, those are three Obama executive orders. Now, his predecessor, June 20, 2007, Bush signs Executive Order 13435, which significantly limited funding for stem cell research. May 28, 2003, Bush signs Executive Order 13303, shielding corporations from legal action regarding dealings with Iraqi oil. As a bonus, it also laid the foundation for vaguely worded and secret clampdowns on anyone who might threaten the stability of Iraq, regardless of nationality. December 12, 2002, Bush signs Executive Order 13279, allowing faith-based employers to skirt federal hiring protections. Dr. John says, I feel like I have to clarify my point, not for the horned faithful, but for the sparkle pony progressives and concern-trolling self-styled anarchists who seem to think that monkey-wrenching the only true progressive who wants to run the country will somehow result in less oppression? The point is this. There's oppression everywhere. More of it intersects in some social groups than in others. The only way to fight it is to unite and fight it on many fronts, again, with the dead German economist. Electing an imperial administrator-in-chief will not erase the oppression, but some administrators will be a more reliable ally than others, and that is valuable. The sorry spectacle of this strategically inept protest did one thing. It advanced a storyline of how, as one headline put it, progressives have a white supremacy problem. With friends like these, dot, dot, dot. Which was my initial thought as well. Dear God, we don't need the other side to tear us down. We'll rip ourselves apart all by ourselves, by our lonesome. With no help whatsoever. Because we are good at it. But I don't know where this stuff is coming from. There are, to my mind, three alternatives, and you're free to add your 2 cents worth. I really appreciate the clarity John brought to that. Because he said it ever so much more nicely than I could have. And more cogently. Three possibilities. I like Roger's theory. That it's mighty, mighty curious that this seems to be happening even as another Bush takes aim at the White House. It does smell rather Rovian, doesn't it? And don't think Jebbia doesn't have some evil little analog to Karl Rove out there sniffing at his underpants and wondering who they can play pull a dirty trick on next. But the individual you know as For Earth over in the Malloy chat room sees the unseen finger of Hillary moving, because for some reason or another these things don't seem to happen at Hillary events. Mm-hmm. And then there's the third possibility, that these really are sparkle pony progressive little anarchists who think that you have to destroy the whole system in order for I don't know what. I've met that type. It is not lost on me. But the problem is, and John gets to it rather quickly, this has created the opportunity for people to holler racist, and what's worse, white supremacist. At you and me. And by you and me, I mean the Horn Family Commune Congregation, which is most definitely multicolored. To be a bigot, to be a racist, is one thing. But to be, but for progressive people who had showed up in Seattle, took time out of their lives, and booed these rude people, well, that doesn't make you a Klansman, but that's what they were called. White supremacist liberals. Progressives don't have a white supremacy problem. I guess now we have a being called white supremacists problem. But damn. And, you know, the idea that this is in any wise a Bernie problem just stuns me. I mean, that takes a lot of brass. Where's the proof that there's anything even remotely racist, let alone white supremacist, about Bernie Sanders' campaign? Is it because he comes from a mostly white state? There's no travel restrictions on Vermont. And this is for a 50 something really, really white guy to be opining on this, I am wide awake to the fact that I may be missing something, maybe missing a lot. Maybe not just missing nuance, but missing the entire forest for all the confounded trees. And so I'm open to a broader discussion on this topic. But political rat-runnery is not new. And this looks like it in a big way. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering about one of the women who pulled off that stunt, Marissa Janae Johnson, she talks about how about back when she was a Sarah Palin supporter. When she got to the microphone, she said, "I was going to tell Bernie how racist this city is with all of its progressives, but you've already done that for me. Thank you." You know what? They didn't need to be told if they're paying attention to the news. I remember the better part of an entire night a while back that we devoted to the audio of a young man of color who had moved there from New Orleans being taken down by the cops and pepper sprayed for something that a racist did to him. I don't take any convincing on Seattle's a racist city any more than I take convincing on the idea that Atlanta is a racist city, New York is a racist city, Boston is a racist city, Chicago is a racist city, Dallas is a racist city, Houston is a racist city, San Francisco is a racist city, L.A., San Diego, Phoenix, Kansas City, St. Louis, Memphis, Louisville, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, they're all racist cities because this is a racist country. Born in it, baked in. The challenge, however, is upon recognizing that, trying to rise above it and change it. And I don't see Hillary changing it. And God knows, I don't see T-Rump changing it. Yeah, because he loves Mexicans, right? And the women's. Carly Farina? She ain't changing it. Chris Christie? No. All that lovey goblolly from John Kasich in the circus the other night. Please, I got a John Kasich story right here. We shouldn't do anything about. Well, never mind. Let him say it.
Oh, yeah, you know, the Lord gave us the environment. Mm-hmm. We're not here to worship it, but we are here to manage it. So. I'd like to meet the Pope, but I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that, Chuck. Right. That's a compliment.
You brought up the environment. He's somebody who believes that climate change is man-made, and that man needs to do something about it. Do you agree with him?
Well, I think that man absolutely affects the environment, but as to whether, you know, what the impact is, the overall impact, I think that's a legitimate debate. But what I do think is, you know, in my state of Ohio, you know, we preciously take care of Lake Erie. We've reduced emissions by 30% over the last 10 years. We believe in alternative energy. So, of course, we have to be sensitive to it, but we don't want to destroy people's jobs based on some theory that's not proven.
There you go. Climate change is just a theory that's not proven. So much for compassionate conservatism, John Kasich style. But no, just to return to the topic, because I find this interesting. Yeah, Marissa Janae posted on Facebook in regard to a friend of hers, Miss Marissa Janae Johnson. This woman has known me since high school, back when I had a Sarah Palin button on backpack. We've been through a lot. Okay, that's good. She describes herself on Twitter as a radical Christian mulatinist. No idea. But here's her creed. Please note, I am only as respectable as the cross. I am only as apologetic as the cross. I am only as concerned with worldly powers as the cross. I am only as concerned about upward mobility as the cross. I am only as neutral, as polite, and as comforting as the cross. I am only as rational as the cross. This is my offering. The Spirit convicts, directs, and affirms me. But this shit is scandalous. That is the call of discipleship. I live like the resurrection is coming and Christ is sovereign. It is utter foolishness. It is life. I do not worship Caesar. I cannot partake in Babylon. I cannot serve two master. Believe I have made my choice. Hashtag narrow is the road. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. So, there's plenty there to point to the fact that whatever it was that happened, in Seattle on Saturday, it was not organic. And it was not spontaneous. At least it doesn't seem to be from where I stand. It is 2 minutes before the hour. Lines are open. Hide not thy light under a bushel, because you know you might catch that basket on fire. But chime in. You've got a phone. You know, I've pondered going back to getting an 800 number. But, you know, most people, and tell me if I'm wrong, most people don't have long-distance charges anymore. They've kind of gone the way of the dodo. So that's why we haven't put a lot of effort into getting an 800 number. Most cell plans are call anywhere from anywhere in the continental United States. Some plans have even added Canada and Mexico. So if you have something to say on this topic, or some other for that matter, by all means, pick up the phone, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. And of course, Skype to Skype, from anywhere in the world, Bob Kincaid, KINCAID, Horn, HORN. Michael in Madison with his thoughts on the event Saturday. Michael says, I heard a very frank and candid answer from a local activist who aligns with the Black Lives Matter and whose confrontational tactics I have respected in the past, although I'm not sure she's right on this one, but that's not for me to say. Anyway, she seemed to be supportive of the actions by the two women in Seattle and implied she would be open to taking similar such disruptive actions. That being said, when asked why Bernie, why not Hillary, Scott Walker, any Republican, her answer paraphrased from memory, to be honest, because Republicans and Hillary, obviously, can afford security. Bernie is the poorest candidate and therefore the most accessible. We couldn't get anywhere close to the mic at a Republican event. And that jibes with something Carol pointed out. Bernie's too accessible. The people who did what they did in Seattle couldn't get within 100 feet of Hillary or that stage without getting tossed by some armed security goon with no neck. Oh, God. I saw something earlier today where people were being interviewed who were standing around with guns outside recruiting center. That's still a thing. That fad has not gone away. I, for the life of me, don't understand why some Marine sergeant can't walk out the door and say, "Maggot! Get yourself away from my U.S. Marine Corps recruiting headquarters right now on the double quick!" Because the Pentagon has told them to leave, and they won't leave.
Oh, really? That's 2015 in the United States of America.
The greatest country in the world on Earth now, today, forever.
Really? You can't tell a bunch of armed goons to leave the premises because Second Amendment.
Wolverines!
So happy to have the reverb back. I didn't mean to interrupt Michael's note. But, so, the people who are going to protect the recruiting centers have not showed up to protect Bernie. I'm going back to Michael's note. You recall that the person talking to Michael said we couldn't get anywhere close to the mic at a Republican event. So, and Michael says this is me talking again, I don't know. Maybe these activists, at best, attention seekers, at worst, are just targeting Bernie for the same reason that Bill Clinton cheated. Because they can. That's a cold comparison, but it might be apt. Although, even with the announcement that, even with Bernie's announcement that he was going to run for the Democratic nomination, there were a lot of folks out there in the Sparkle Pony community saying, "He's a sellout! He's an empty suit!" Alongside the Stormfront people hollering, "And he's got dual citizenship with Israel!" And the Yahoos hollering, "He doesn't understand the immigrant experience! Nah, his parents only came from, you know, fleeing the ashes of the Holocaust. That's all they did. Now, I don't understand the immigrant experience." Oh, hell no, not Bernie. Michael says, maybe it's not a Clinton or GOP dirty trick psyop. Although I admit it looks that way. Then again, maybe it is. Will we ever really know, and does it even matter? What's important in my mind is how Bernie handles it, and perhaps even more importantly, how his primarily white so far supporters react to it. And what I've seen from Bernie so far has been encouraging, at least from my white male POV. However, the reactions from some of his most vocal and fanatical supporters, both at the actual event and on social media, have been incredibly disturbing, to say the least. Sadly, I'm not shocked. We got plenty of cluelessness on our side. I suppose that's the blessing and the curse of a grassroots movement. However, the racist backlash from people allegedly on our side is more reprehensible and inexcusable than anything that the two rude women did. It's like thousands of white so-called liberals collectively got racist Tourette's, and as our member of the Horn Family Commune congregation put it, screamed, "Don't you realize everything Bernie has done for you people?" Yeah, see, I've said it, and I'm not saying it anymore. I said it earlier this evening. You know, he was at the March on Washington in 1963. He was at Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. It's probably not helpful to drag that out again and again, because this is the United States of America, and I don't care where you are on the political spectrum, this is the what have you done for me lately country. Michael notes, it's not enough that Bernie marched with MLK, got arrested decades ago, or supported Jesse Jackson's candidacy for president. That's simply not enough. To think so is, as best I currently understand it, the very definition of white liberal privilege. And I think Bernie understands this, even if many of his supporters apparently don't. Bernie just needs to learn to be more comfortable discussing issues of race, and I think he can get there. I think he's trying. Now, were the two women who interrupted Bernie wise in their tactics? I didn't like it at all. It made me uncomfortable. But we're talking about it, and I think this is a moment we can all learn from. Are they genuine in their passion for Black Lives Matter, or are they opportunists just seeking notoriety? That's the cynic in me that says that. Yeah, I answer that one yes, because I'm a cynic, especially after reading the I'm as rational as the cross hallucination. Chills? Agent provocateur? Misguided former Sarah Palin Tea Partiers turned weirdo hyper-Christian black nationalist? I don't know. And I don't know that it matters that I don't know. Bernie Sanders has now issued a lengthy policy statement on racial justice. He gets it. Now he just needs to learn, as I said, to get more comfortable discussing these issues publicly rather than just touching on them lightly in his speeches. And I think his white supporters just need to let what happened Saturday go and move forward. Black lives still matter. My two cents, Michael in Madison. On this day, this anniversary day, with St. Louis, the St. Louis area, apparently in a state of emergency, again, black lives still matter. I agree with Michael. The problems are still brutal. The problems are still baked in. The problems still demand not just lip service, but systemic change. Now, again, with the caveat that this is white guy pontification, how about a little outreach? How about an invitation? I remember when the 2008 campaign was just getting going, and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were each invited on the same day, if I recall correctly, to come and speak at the church in Selma, Alabama, where Dr. King had stood in the pulpit. I think that's called for here. The Urban League had their national convention recently, and Bernie Sanders spoke there, and Hillary spoke there. I think I'm with Michael. I think Bernie can get this. Then again, the other side of the coin, as Carol notes, is that Bernie will never be black enough. Hell, Barack ain't black enough. Within some circles of that movement. Now, one of the founding women from Black Lives Matter jumped right out and disavowed this not particularly stable-sounding Christianist weirdo from Seattle and apologized on behalf of Black Lives Matter to Bernie. But one, let me just, this is ancillary, but I think it still counts. It worries me that somebody can march their happy ass right up next to Bernie Sanders and there's no one there to protect him. In a way, it puts me in the he's a sitting senator of the United States, and it puts me in mind of Senator Clemente Pinckney in Charleston, South Carolina, sitting there in his home church and got blown away by a right winger in hopes of starting a race war. That made what happened in Charleston, although it was seldom mentioned as such, that made what happened in Charleston not merely a murder, not merely a mass murder, not merely domestic terrorism. Did we ever get around to calling it that? But a political assassination. And this country is not above that. I'm not saying somebody from Black Lives Matter is going to go and try to harm Bernie. But if it's that easy to get that close to him, what's to stop a booger eater? What's to stop a freedom protector? It's bad enough we got one socialist in the White House now. We don't need a second one. We're going to take our country back. Right? Tell me it doesn't give you the shivers. Hey. It's Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Hi, partner. How are you?
I think I just scared myself.
Yeah, I get that. I've been kind of very carefully monitoring everything that's been going on in Ferguson. Because I understand that was kind of the birthplace of the Black Lives Matter movement. And with everything that's going on, I think that people don't really have a perspective of what's happened in Ferguson over the last year. So I kind of wanted to talk about that for a minute. It's been 365 days since Mike Brown laid in the middle of Canfield Avenue for more than 4 hours, just bleeding on the sidewalk, or bleeding on the pavement. And since that time, 314 Black Americans have died at the hands of police. And most notably among those are very familiar names like Tamir Rice and Eric Garner and John Crawford and Lizelle Ford, Eric Courtney, Harris, Walter Scott, Samuel DuBose. And it's kind of rare when in a shooting like Samuel DuBose that a police officer is charged with murder. So the only thing that made the DuBose case different was the video taken from the body camera worn by Officer Tensing that proved that he lied. But in that year, you kind of have to look at what's changed in Ferguson in that year, and the answer is not much. Protesters before this week had largely gone home because the activists had really desperately assured the community that they would work long and hard within the confines of the quote system to enact real and lasting change, because, and they have done that, because the establishment assured them that doing that, and they were promised that it was the only way a civilized culture could exist. And their efforts have proven fairly futile. It really kind of reminds me of a protest sign that I saw hanging from a black man's neck in Ferguson when I was there a year ago. And it said, the system was never broken, it was made that way. And in retrospect,
that's why I keep saying baked in.
It was a very profound observation. Well, this last March, the Department of Justice issued that scathing report that found the Ferguson Police Department and the criminal justice system were unfairly and unconstitutionally targeting poor people and people of color with tickets and fines for minor offenses targeting minorities and low-income residents as a revenue stream for the city. And, you know, these residents were targeted by police for, like, things like playing their car radio too loud, changing lanes without signaling, speeding 2 miles over the posted speed limit. And it kind of led to a really startling statistic. At the end of 2014, 75% of the population in Ferguson, Missouri had outstanding arrest warrants. And CNN Money just issued a report saying that arrest warrants in Ferguson are steadily on the rise, and the city is actually ramping up. In May and June alone, more than 1,000 residents were issued new arrest warrants. And you have to take a really close look at the type of activities that those residents are being charged with. There is literally a manner of walking along the roadway offense. And now, if I told you that 100 people got arrested for manner of walking along the roadway, what percentage of those would you guess are black?
Substantial.
Give me a number.
A percentage number?
Yeah.
78%.
95.
Yeah. I guess I was being an optimist.
You were. One man was actually cited for dancing in the street. Like, over to the side of the road. 6% of all the warrants were related to citations for disrespecting a police officer. So, if you voice displeasure at an unwarranted stop, you get slapped with that charge.
And resisting, and obstructing, and right. See, I heard a quote earlier today, I guess it was the chief of police there, or whatever, saying, oh, my officers are confused. I got one of them saying, I'm afraid to pull anybody over now because I'm afraid I'll be called a racist.
Horseshit.
Yeah, right. That basically my response, because, look.
The numbers clearly don't support that.
No, they don't. But the police chief was like, well, we're hardly writing any tickets now at all.
Nice try.
But it's not that complicated.
Well,
there's all kinds of ticky-tacky little, and we've discussed them on this program, mm-hmm. ways for police to pull you over.
Sure.
Failure to dim lights, okay? If you're driving at night, and a police, and you've got your high beams on, and it's completely legal to do so, but you don't dim them fast enough within the judgment of a police officer,
yes.
he can pull you over for that.
Absolutely.
Failure to signal, improper signal, loud muffler, music too loud. I mean, all kinds of littering. A cigarette butt out a window can get you pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's an even deeper discussion as to what extent traffic cops are actually necessary. I mean, you can't make the speeding kills people argument. It doesn't statistically work.
Not when you're busted for 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, not when you're busted for doing 27 and a 25.
No. And so, you know, the answer is maybe they shouldn't be writing tickets.
Well, until the city of Ferguson and the police department acknowledge that a problem exists that's built into the present system, not as a flaw but a feature of using poor minority residents as a revenue stream, nothing's going to change. And I understand why those people are out there closing down I-70. And yes, I know it's an inconvenience. Yes, I know it's hot outside. But the fact is that no one wants to pay attention to them until they inconvenience someone. And there was a huge protest yesterday and today of a sit-in in front of the Department of Justice building. Dr. Cornel West was there, DeRaba Kesson, the rather vocal activist leader, was arrested. And they were just released from federal custody within the last hour. And, of course, it only took going to Twitter. Adolf Hitler tweeted to them that he was offering a nice camp for them to come to.
What? By the way, 821, 821.
Yes, Gerald, you have to give me half of the kitty on that one, because I know you got it. But it was, go look at my Facebook page. I posted the screenshot. The Huffington Post posted a picture of them being released from the Department of Justice building, and it's right underneath of it. So it's always good to know that there's never a racist element to any of this. And there were people on Twitter talking about the I-70 protesters. There were cars out there trying to run them over. There were people.
It's getting
Twitter
worse and not better, Carol.
It was getting. Yeah, I know. Actively encouraging people to lean out their car windows and shoot the protesters and run over them. These people are using nonviolent means to get the attention of people because nothing has changed. Worse than nothing has changed, it has actually gotten worse because they did exactly what they were told to do and acted like good little white people, and sat with their hands crossed in all of these meetings and blue ribbon commissions where not only nothing has changed, but it has actually gotten worse. How many months did it take for them to fire that racist police chief there?
Oh, God. The larger expanse of this issue, I mean, There are unforced errors, if you will.
Absolutely.
Acts of profound stupidity. A minor league part of the New York Yankees organization.
I saw that. The Blue Lives Matter wristband day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is for a minor league team, I think, on Staten Island. And that has some meaning.
Yes.
I hesitate to use the word frightening.
Well, here's the thing.
The thing is, I live in a very, very white place, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't have to go very far to hear the white ignorant response to all of this. And I'll just say that it is not pleasant.
It isn't pleasant, and it's frustrating because I want to support the Black Lives Matter movement. I do support the protesters in Ferguson. I absolutely do support them. And I worry for their safety. I think it's even more dangerous now. A year later, I think it would be more dangerous for me to go back and file a report in person than it was a year ago.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, for God's sakes, down in Texas, there are a group of clergy who are keeping a vigil at the jail where Sandra Bland died.
Yep.
The sheriff has told them, go back to the Church of Satan. I need not mention that the sheriff's a white guy.
And a really racist son of a bitch.
That probably has read, too.
Yeah, I read a story about him earlier. The guy who likes to talk about himself in the third person.
Dear God.
Sheriff Cletus is not a racist.
Sheriff Cletus is not amused.
Or that either.
No, this is...
See, what we have here is a
failure to communicate. And the problem is that that the only answer is they're running out of into the box.
Yeah.
Because the box is a coffin.
That's right. That's exactly the point I was going to make. So just a little perspective from somebody who's watching very closely and isn't that far away. And
no, not that far away at all. And meanwhile, can I this is not a rhetorical question. I would be pleased to know if there's an actual real answer to this question. I mentioned a little bit ago, all the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered white Christians out there are protecting our recruiting stations. How many of those people with guns outside recruiting stations? How many of those folks you reckon are black?
None.
I'd be comfortable saying none.
I want to know what they do for a living that they can afford to spend their days in front of recruiting stations with their guns. How is it that these people can afford to not be working in the middle of the day, scaring the shit out of people, including the people inside those recruiting stations? What do they do for a living?
You got me.
Yeah, this is all I heard about the protesters. You know, if
ain't got a job?
Yeah, go get a job instead of blocking traffic and wasting people's time. Well, okay, well, I have to ask you the same question. What do you do for a living? Because you're not the night manager at the 7-Eleven.
No. I'm guessing, and this may be a bigoted response, I'm guessing a lot of them are either retired or on disability.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. They're collecting some kind of government assistance.
Government money check.
Yep, waiting for the government check. Because theirs is always justified, but, you know, the wrong coloreds, not so much.
This is...
Yeah, this is coming to a head. It is coming to a head, and it is going to boil over. This is the 60s all over again, and I'm sitting there going, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at what they're doing to women's reproductive rights, and I'm going, you know, 30-40 years ago, I was marching with these people. We thought these battles were won, and I'm having to fight this shit all over again?
Yeah, but this is not the 60s all over again, Carol, and for one very good reason. White folks in this country have a lot more guns now.
Yeah, they do.
Than they ever had in the 60s. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, sure, around here where I live, yeah, you got a shotgun for birds, you know, turkeys, you got a rifle for deer, you might have a varmint rifle like a .223, something like that. Maybe you got a .22 for plinking. Maybe you got a pistol, okay? Now, I know that to a lot of America, that sounds like an arsenal.
And it isn't.
No, that's just West Virginia.
That's just the way I grew up. And Bob, I used to... my first date with Mr. Kinnell was to go pheasant hunting. Seriously.
Wing shooting is damn fun. I just pissed off a few people, but yeah.
We went deer hunting the first year. I used to be a very accomplished skeet shooter. I used to love to take the pistol and go down to the range. It was a sporting thing. I had all those guns, and I will tell you that it was really kind of the NRA response after Columbine that took me to a very serious come to There Is No Jesus meeting over the whole gun issue. And I got rid of all my guns, and I did not sell them. They were destroyed. Because I decided that I live in a country where we're no longer interested in feeding our families and conservation and shooting skeet for sport and that kind of thing. It isn't that anymore. It's about shooting other Americans, and I want no part of it.
No, but a lot of people do, and they have masturbatory fantasies about it. That's what these assholes are out in front of in front of recruiting stations. Okay. And it amazes me that nobody inside those offices really can come out and say, "Maggot," you know.
They can't say anything.
No. Because they might get shot.
Exactly. And they have asked those people to not be there. And they persist.
Why didn't the Pentagon provide... I saw one yokel. He said, well, they can send in the National Guard and then we'll go home. Well, you know what, Cletus? You're not in charge of those kind of policy decisions.
That's right.
But Ron just said something profound, and of course he did. You know. By the way, we are still waiting for the remainder of Dr. John's challenge to be met.
Okay.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But I just wanted to mention that. We've got... don't make me go do the damn math again. Call it $20 to go.
Shut up.
$20 to go on Dr. John's challenge this evening.
Wimp.
And your 20 turns in, and you know, the 20 turns into 40 as soon as it lands. Ron pointed out a minute ago, he says, one other thing that's changed since the 60s. Back then, we thought our vote meant something. And I think that probably deserves a little more expansion, because it's not just the video game voting machines that have changed mm-hmm. things, and it's not just the theft of the election in 2000. My God, there have been elections stole all over this country since the first two voters in this country started selling their votes to each other.
True.
But the idea, no, I think there's something deeper there, and this is that. A central part of the movement that was the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s was voting rights. There was an idea that if people who had been theretofore disenfranchised became enfranchised and would go and vote, they could vote for their own best interests.
True.
Could and would. And, you know, I mean, up until John Roberts gutted the Voting Rights Act, an eagle eye was kept on states that had histories of voter suppression.
That is correct.
And can we say some progress was made? If we can say that, then we have to ask the question, how much? How much progress was made? And I'm sorry, you can't just plead Barack Obama and say that Dr. King's dream has been fulfilled. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think it would only take understanding that meeting that was taking place simultaneously with the swearing in of Barack Obama by GOP leaders to create the system of gridlock in Washington so that absolutely none of his policies could be enacted.
Right. We don't care who you voted for. We're not going to let him be president.
That's right.
I thought it was very telling what Dr. John did there in his note a little bit ago, pointing out just comparing executive orders between Dem leader and Barack Obama. And yet, you know, they're ignorance is the great plague of this nation, Carol.
Yes.
Because you got all these white wingers out there hooting about that Barack Obama and his executive orders trying to turn us into a Kenyan socialist usurper nation. And yet, you would think he was the first president ever to use the damn things. Going all the way back, to the beginning of the program, you know, the business with T. Rump and his revolting sexism. Well, there's Eric Erickson. He finally got called on it because that man has uttered more misogynistic bilge than probably than Trump.
Bob, when Eric Erickson gets to decide what that magic line is for what's gone too far, that's when I start taking fine dining tips from Jeffrey Dahmer.
Nice, well done. Oh, well played. Yes. But he says, he was asked by Neil Cavuto, journalist.
Stop.
Your needling, how does it differentiate from Donald Trump's needling? And he said, well, Trump's running for president and I'm not. But the fact of the matter is, Trump is not a very smart man. You do not have to be very smart to be very, very wealthy. And it's like the old joke, Carol, about what's the best way to make $1 million? Start with $999,999.99.
Yep.
You know, born on third thinking you hit a triple.
Oh, man.
I mean, there's no bootstraps involved with Donald Trump.
No.
And there's no brains either.
No.
But, yeah, he's tell it like it is, plain talker. And there's, you know, there's poor Jebya down there, somewhere around 11%, going, wait a minute, what? Mother!
I don't think anyone's asking Donald Trump to be politically correct as he keeps yammering about. I mean, what we're asking is for a certain level of civility. You can disagree with someone without being disagreeable. You can not like someone without launching direct attacks on them. You can... I think maybe the differences between the 60s and now is that back in the 60s, I think that as Americans, there were some things fundamentally that we all believed in, regardless of what our political stripes were. And one of them, I think, was that I think we all would have agreed that Americans had the right to feel safe, you know, walking into a public place without fear of another American pulling out a gun and shooting them. It wasn't done. We've become so kind of inured to certain things. It's so everyday, commonplace, that we just don't. It's like mass shootings, you know. They happen so often that it's such an everyday occurrence now that if you talk about it right away, then you're politicizing it. If you wait to talk about it, then the next shooting's already happened, and you're still politicizing it. And you can't just want your kids to go to school and be safe. You don't love America. You know, you're just one of them peacenik, tree-hugging libtards. You know, I get this constantly. And it's like, because I'm a sane human being who thinks there shouldn't be guns in schools? It's so... But now, I mean, we used to believe back in the 60s that education was the silver bullet to beating poverty. I think everybody agreed with that.
And I think I don't think that's a fight, Carol. I don't think that's a disagreement. We just haven't done it yet.
Well, it is now, because now we believe that we have to rewrite the history books, and we have to indoctrinate kids into conservative thinking in school, because they believe that If you let those kids go to college, they don't want people going to college. They do not want college-educated people because they believe that colleges are the bastion of liberalism where these kids will be taught to, you know, God forbid, think for themselves. You know, college where atheists are born.
Well, true. And one of the things that happened today, and you know how I feel about weasel language.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bernie has a proposal out that everybody should be able to go to college for free in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
You know, like the civilized countries do.
Exactly.
Well, today was a big deal for Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton because she was going to introduce her more affordable education program.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that and kind of barked. Yeah, okay, because we're going to have lower loan rates. Okay, great. So, but the kids are still going to be graduating up to their they're going to be up to their knuckles in debt instead of up to their nipples.
Right, and it doesn't matter because when you still have, you know, we're supposed to trust the free market and these all these successful people who live and die by government subsidies. You know, how many billions of dollars went to corporations to subsidize corporations, who then in turn do not pass those subsidies off in the form of a living wage or actual jobs, but instead into huge CEO golden parachutes, then you're never solving the problem. I'm all for ending welfare in this country if it goes to a corporation.
Yeah. End the corporate welfare. Well, then again, I'm a hardcore. I want a corporate death penalty. If we're going to be a death penalty country, okay, I want a corporate death penalty. I want every single investor in the company, every last shareholder, I want them knowing that the value of their shares in that company can be zeroed out upon conviction.
Absolutely. Or better yet, I think that we should ban aborting jobs so no one can get fired.
There you go. Yeah.
Because after all, I mean, isn't a company really just an incubator of capitalism?
Sure it is.
What is capitalism if you don't have people with enough money to spend to go buy your product?
Absolutely. Oh, and happy news. Thank you to Sylvia.
Yes.
She just finished off Dr. John's challenge, so we are down to $74.91 to finish the night. Thank you, Sylvia, very kindly.
Good job, Hornanistas. I heard that wrong number of $180.
I know. That just offended you.
It did. Because it's so fun to hear you suffering online.
And sometimes they's gazintas.
And gazintas. But anyway, I wanted to kind of share with you a perspective of what's kind of really going on there and why the protests are really kind of where they're at right now. And, I can't pretend to speak for the Black Lives Matter group. I mean, do I think that their work is important? I do.
Absolutely. And
am I suspicious of these people that are going in and just going after Bernie?
Well, when one of the founders of Black Lives Matter says, this ain't us, we didn't do that.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they owned up to the one at Netroots Nation. And I don't necessarily think that was that wasn't uncalled for.
No.
This, not so much.
And
I say that recognizing that even that is probably cloaked in privilege. Hey, I just got some breaking news from Tim in L.A.
What is it, Tim?
Apparently, another bomb train has gone up.
Oh, and who's the lucky lottery winner tonight?
Sherwood, Oregon.
Really?
Photo, smoke rises from fire at train trestle in Sherwood, Oregon. Four tank cars next to the trestle. The trestle is now fully involved. and there are huge clouds of black smoke billowing up, and it looks like the trestle is so hot that the metal on it is glowing orange. Or maybe it's wood, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's glowing orange.
Oh my.
And by the way, one, so, you know, because money, because we've got to have energy independence, even though the sun is free and so is the wind. But that's the problem. The sun and the wind are free.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, I don't know if people really kind of know what a wind trestle is, but it's like a bridge that goes over an impassable area, and if that thing melts, there aren't going to be any trains going through there for a long time.
Right. Oh, and by the way, you got a note in response from Michael in Madison. See, I love the way these little dialogues work out.
Yes.
Michael said, I don't mean to make light of this appalling issue, but a black person can be arrested for reenacting a David Bowie Mick Jagger collaboration. Did I hear that right? He got busted for dancing in the street. Holy shit.
Yes.
And then I guess those two blokes are white. Different rules, you know.
Excessive happiness is against the law, honey.
But Michael continues and says, also, I'm with Carol about shutting down streets and highways. When Tony Robinson was murdered by a Madison, Wisconsin Police Department officer back in March, there was soon after a peaceful, nonviolent, pre-announced protest that shut down a few streets and intersections in Madison for a few measly hours of a single workday. And I heard bitching and moaning from white folks, friends of mine even, from all over this state, seemingly putting such disruptions on the same page as burning down a CVS. Made me so mad. I genuinely wish I'd have had the balls and the forethought to have gone down there and marched with them. I don't need to remind the Horn family, but I apparently do need to repeatedly remind many of my fellow cheesehead fairweather progressive friends that it was MLK Jr.'s letter from Birmingham jail, not his letter from my living room where I sit quietly bothering no one, breaking no laws. Maybe that's why, as cynical as I am about the motivations of the two particular women who interrupted Bernie, and trust me, I'm cynical, I hesitate to say anything that might be misconstrued as championing only protest actions that don't inconvenience or disrupt anyone. Protest is meant to make people uncomfortable. If folks were really paying attention, protest wouldn't be necessary. Protest is necessary because some folks are too comfortable. As a popular meme making the rounds so aptly puts it, black people are literally saying, stop killing us, and there are people saying, but... Signed, Michael. And that's true. And yep. especially what he says about protest. I mean, it's... I had enough time living and working in D.C. over the last few years. Any given day, there was somebody out there on the South Senate Park or the West Lawn of the Capitol or the somebody. And, you know, there was always a LaRoucher on the corner. And you know what? Nobody, and God knows I've been to events down on the mall. You know, we're going to have a million people. Oh, bullshit. No, you're not.
It's going to be more than a Tea Party rally.
Yeah, but the thing is, And I've talked about this before, Carol. It's gonna okay. We're gonna rally from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, and then we'll be needing some people to participate in the cleanup crew. And it'll be like we were never even here come Sunday morning.
And come Sunday morning, it's like they were never even there.
Right, and you know, the local news channels, the local news, Action News, Team Eyewitness, Your Friend on Your Side, Action 3, they don't even show up!
No.
Because it has been reduced, and this is the kind of stuff I think Michael's talking about, it has been reduced to a form of ritualized, stylized public theater.
Yes. Yes. Michael, I will tell you, the last time I was arrested was in October of 2001. I was standing in front of the White House. I was protesting the Patriot Act before it was voted on. And I had, now you got to remember, this is, it was less than 30 days after the World Trade Center attacks. And my fellow Americans spit on me and called me a traitor to my country. as I was handcuffed, I was being spit on, and the cops were like holding me there to let them spit on me.
And but not all police officers are bad, Carol.
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, and now all these years later, all of these people are going, oh, the Patriot Act is such a bad thing. You know, well, some of us kind of knew it then. And, you know, I was doing a very unpopular thing at a very unpopular time. But I did it not because I thought I was going to change anybody's mind, but because my soul said I had to be there. I couldn't have lived with myself if I had not gone.
No. And I, you know, I've participated in these protests too, and I understand the motivation behind them. And I've even had some discussions with folks talking about you know, what we need to do, you know, what you people need to do in West Virginia is. And it's like, you know, we are so past having protests. We're so past rallies.
Right now, you're just trying to, you know, live to the next doctor's appointment.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it. I get it, buddy.
Nice sound effect.
Yeah, sorry, my eBay keeps going off.
Oh, are you watching something fun?
No, I'm selling things.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Got a nice Bugatti for cheap or anything?
No. Just headlights and taillights and
damn.
I made $3,000 in the last 2 months.
Nice.
Well, not for me, but for
for the boss man.
My boss, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. By the way, the fire in Oregon's been upgraded to a 2-alarm affair. Sylvia tells me that no train was mentioned, but the trestle was caught on fire by a grass fire that was being fought by local firefighters.
So it wasn't a bomb train?
Well, we don't. I don't know. I don't know. Do grass fires put up great carboniferous plumes of black smoke?
No.
In one place?
They don't.
I don't know. Maybe when the creosoted cross ties catch fire. Maybe that's what that was. I don't
know. You know what creosote is, don't you?
No.
It's coal tar.
Oh, well, silly me. Yeah. that would burn kind of funny, wouldn't it?
I'm a kid who grew up next to the railroad tracks.
Meanwhile, don't go fishing in that river in Colorado.
No.
You may be there, but the fish won't be. They're busy being dead.
That's right.
And for once, and this is the part that just baffles the bejesus out of it, that's the EPA's fault.
Yes.
And sooner or later, some right-winger is going to say, see, the EPA can't be trusted. When in fact, I don't know, maybe if they had more employees and better training, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that river in Colorado looks like all kinds of streams all over West Virginia.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? A little deja vu there.
Yeah, a little too much for my taste. Carol, how's yourself?
I saw the papers, and it reminded me of West Virginia.
Oh, it looks like home. Yeah, somehow I can't work up a real good wistful for that.
No.
All right, then. Thank you very kindly, Ms. Carroll. And I'm happy to say that we are down to $69.91. Thank you, and thank you to Amelia.
Keep sending her out change.
Yeah. Make Bob's brain hurt.
You know, I love you, but it was that eat a shit sandwich comment that you're going to live with it now. All right, Bubba. Talk to you soon.
Have a good night. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only inimitable Carol Baker. And I'm proud of the fact that we have gotten through the program this evening. And now I get, for the second time, to go and learn how, or try to upload another program to the web, to whiterosesociety.org. And happy news, Ben sent me a note to say that everything was perfect except for I missed one date. Damn it! We'll get there. And he fixed my error, so All I got to do is just a little more presence of mind. If the podcast doesn't go up in timely fashion, say by midnight, let me know. That means I've probably screwed up. But thanks, everybody. Thanks to everybody who helped out this evening. Thanks to Glenn and Reinhard and Emilio and Carol and Ron and Dr. John and Sylvia. Thank you to Kath and Judy. We got very close to not even having any deficit left whatsoever. 69.91 to go on the evening. Maybe we can manage that tomorrow. Or maybe it'll be gone by tomorrow. And remember, the equipment fund is standing right around the $2,000, $1,900 mark. So thanks, everybody. Thanks always go out to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky for helping me figure out how to get back into the chat room. Ah, bless your heart. Bless your heart, Gerald. Gerald said, sending 1991 just for you. Wait, that... Now he's needling Carol. Yeah, because that'll take us down to $50 even to go on the evening. And the devilish little amount of change is just a pair of zeros now. I can handle that. I'm sure Carol has a minion out there somewhere that's good for the odd change that'll reinstate my mathematical torment. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you very kindly. Again, thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. It's by courtesy of John Fox that we have our reverb back.
Yay!
And thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Enjoy your vacation. Well-deserved, much-needed. Come back relaxed, you know, because somebody will look at you when you get back, Ben, and say, coffee break's over, back on your head. Thanks, of course, go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. Yes, indeed. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.